You know, I've worked on a lot of things back in the olden days. Like, I had some anger issues to work through, and I was very successful in therapy through that. But lately I've been working on, you know, my relationship with just people, you know, definitely my wife, definitely my children, but just people in general. And what I didn't realize is how fucking fake I've been being all these years, right? Because I just wasn't aware of it.
Real business owner. Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be successful? Don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
What's up, real business owners? Welcome back to another episode of the Real Business Owners Podcast. I just got told that this is probably about our episode 200, so appreciate everybody that's been along for the ride and listening to our last 199 episodes. Quick little promotion, you guys. It's tax season, and as you know, we own Easier Accounting, and we've worked so hard on our service over, well, a lot of years, but especially these last couple years, to just really fine-tune things. And if you're in the need of some better tax preparation, better books throughout the year, better details for your business throughout the year, and just really knowing your numbers, I know from experience being an entrepreneur that we always think we can solve our problems by just going out and making more money. But at the end of the day, like, we have to manage our money. No one's going to care about your money more than you. So get the right team behind you. If you need any help on that, on the accounting or the financial side of your business, you should definitely reach out to us. Just go to easieraccounting.com. Check us out. But you guys, today I wanted to jump into an episode because at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of things that affect us as entrepreneurs and business owners. And really, I mean, you know, we have to combat these things. And, you know, I mean, I've heard Trevor say this, I've said this, like, you know, being a business owner is literally, it's a path of self-growth and mastery. And it's literally self-development built into building your own business. And so many things affect your business, you know, your productivity and the amount of output that you have as an entrepreneur. And this episode is not for just the men listeners, this is for the women listeners as well, but I relate to it as men because I've personally been doing a lot of work over this last year on the type of man, your masculinity that you put out in the world, especially as a business owner, as an entrepreneur. And I've gone through some recent hardships in my own relationships, both at the business and at home, from, you know, with my wife to with my children to with my business partners. And the funny thing is we all know one thing affects all things, right? And especially when you as a person aren't fully aware and working on the things that are really holding you back. So anyway, I'm sitting in an office with one of my therapists. I actually have a few, you know, and I've talked about therapy in my other episodes. That's just something that I do because it's something that's powerful for me and my brain. I have to stay constantly learning and evolving with, you know, my own mental state. And, you know, I've worked on a lot of things back in the olden days. Like, I had some anger issues to work through, and I was very successful in therapy through that. But lately I've been working on, you know, my relationship with just people, you know, definitely my wife, definitely my children, but just people in general. And what I didn't realize is how fucking fake I've been being all these years, right? Because I just wasn't aware of it, man. Like, we operate as men and as operators, right? We operate with this idea of who we are, right? But we also hide a lot of who we are. And so I get this recommendation to go read this book, and it's called No More Mr. Nice Guy. Because in my therapy, I started actually becoming really fucking honest with myself and how important things were to me, like, you know, praise and recognition and validation and all of these things. And, like, things that I felt like were missing in my home, and, you know, how, like, I felt like I needed all these things. And really, you know, we're our own source of all those things, you know, but we look externally for those things. And so I jump into this book, man, and it starts breaking some things down, and I'm like, holy shit, man, this thing has me pegged, right? This book has me pegged. I'm definitely a guy that's living with what they call in this book, nice guy syndrome. And you know, from people pleasing, being the yes man, you know, but really the biggest issue, the root of a lot of this was, you know, really hiding who you are, right? Because we all live with these demons, you know, we all have thoughts and we all have things that, you know, addictions and things that we turn to. It could be food, it could be pornography, it could be, you know, strip clubs, prostitutes, it could be, you know, all these things, right? And it could be drugs, right? But at the end of the day, we hide a lot of who we are, right? And this book starts breaking down very early on in the book. It starts saying, you know, why society has really created and bred a lot of these nice guys. And it was interesting because it starts talking about the Industrial Revolution and the time that it was before that. And it talks in here, it says 1 in 3 homes worked on the farm. You know, they lived on a farm. That's how it was pre-Industrial Revolution. And so when boys were born, they would go to work with their fathers from the second they could walk. And I've seen this with my own eyes from my wife. She comes from a family of cattle ranchers. And so, you know, every couple Thanksgivings, we end up going out to their ranch in Colorado. And I see these kids, man, like from when they can walk, they're like literally they're out there with the men, like throwing tires on the corn lot and, you know, getting it covered up for the winter. And like, you know, they're trying to help even as boys, toddlers that can barely walk, you know? And so that's how it was. Like this experience that I experienced just on Thanksgiving was an experience of how it was really pre-Industrial Revolution. And, most men and boys, they don't get brought up like that anymore because 1 in 3 homes worked on a farm or were surrounded by the agriculture, you know, community. And, you know, these boys, they work with their uncles, their grandfathers, their fathers, and just, you know, their brothers. And they're out there working on the farm. They're working. There's male camaraderie all around them. And that's how they're being raised. And, you know, it wasn't shamed upon to be like, you know, a boy and get, you know, get wild, get roughhousing and do hard work, right? And so then what happens is Industrial Revolution hits. And the Industrial Revolution, men started like going into the factories to work. They started going into the cities to work. And so they're leaving the home. And then these boys are being raised by their mother. And the mother is a great influence on the boys as well and the daughters. And what happens though is like the male on male, like, bond is not totally broken, but it's distant, right? And so these men go into the city and they work, and then these men, they also develop like these habits, right? Because they're going to the city, they're exhausted, they're coming home, they have marriage problems, maybe they turn to drinking, they start cheating on their wives, whatever it is, right? But this was something that the numbers started increasing rapidly as far as these problems, these addictions that men were turning towards, you know, once the Industrial Revolution hit, like men were becoming depressed, right? And then that's the influence that they're bringing home to their children. And then, you know, we start putting our kids in school because pre-Industrial Revolution, like school systems were very, very new. It wasn't like a common thing. And then we start putting our kids in the school system. So once they get to a certain age, they're raised basically by their mother. Their mother's having problems with the father because the father's leaving the home. The father's developing drinking habits or, you know, other habits that, you know, are causing shame in the man. And he's coming home. That's the influence that he's having on his children. And then basically, the child is being taught that a good man is not what his father is. And that's not at the fault of the woman. That's at the fault of the man, right? Turning to those habits, right? The type of example that he's being in these children's lives. So there's something that's missing there as far as like true masculinity. It's fading, right? And then we put our kids in the school system. Well, 9 out of 10 teachers that your child are going to have are women teachers, right? Because they're what going, that's how our education system was built. And so now that's all being, you know, the influence on these boys as well. And And then on top of that, you know, you have this movement of feminism and things like that, right? And so really these men are being raised, and I'm one of them, and chances are you're one of them as well, because we went from 1 in 3 families being raised on a farm or out in the country to literally like 1 in 3,000 homes nowadays, right? That actually grow up and work on a farm and have that type of influence in their life. And, you know, I'm not saying by all means like that, you know, you have to go work on a farm to build like masculinity and you know, create some male camaraderie in your life and you know, male on male influence. But I am saying that we have had a society that has progressed to where these children have a role model of men that aren't active in the home, and they're not happy in marriages. And these boys get taught all the way through their adolescence to their adulthood that, like, man, in order for me to be accepted, to feel validated, to feel whole, I've got to be the opposite of what my father is. And I've got to be what my mother, my teacher, and these female influences think I should be, right? And the funny thing is there's all this data to back it up. And women that go into these therapy sessions and women that go into these tests, and, you know, it shows the data that they're not happy with the men that they're with either. It's because what happens, you guys, is because of this influence that we have, that we have to dim down our masculinity, we have to dim down who we are to be accepted and loved, we end up hiding a lot of the things that of who we really are, right? And when you're hiding who you are as a man and you're not just owning your greatness, it's felt. It's felt throughout your relationships, and you really become pussified. This is what it is. And you do it strategically because you're trying to get love and acceptance, but you're trying to be something that you're not. You know, like, it is what it is. Like, men are wired to do things differently than women, and women are wired to do things differently than men. And, you know, we all have different strengths and we all have different, you know, weaknesses. And there's a lot of beauty in, like, in that, especially in relationships, in the, like, powers that you can bring to a relationship, right? And it's not like codependence, but it's like you do end up building a beautiful thing when you're both yourself, you're both your true self, and you both let each other be who you are. But that's not really what's been happening, and that's not what's continuing to happen. And so I talk about this because, you know, I'm not one of these guys that you see out there pushing masculinity super hard. But when I read these things and then I start practicing the things that it teaches in these books, it's like, man, I start realizing how fake I really have been living in so many areas of my life, because I was doing exactly what this book talks about, where it's like, well, in order for me to be like a good man, a nice guy, you know, I've got to be a nice guy. I've got to be the opposite of what my father or these other negative influences were. And they were negative influences. When you're turning to these habits and you're living in that shame, you obviously don't look at that other male in your life, whether it's your father, your grandfather, whatever, as like this positive influence. But I'm not trying to like say, you know, that everything's just totally fucked up. I know there's really great men out there. And I'm, you know, I know that not everybody is going to go, you know, get raised on a farm, but it is what it is, man. We get brought up in the school systems that we get brought up in, and we get taught the certain things that we get taught. And I know whoever's listening that there are a significant amount of you that are like, dude, your motivation is to be the exact opposite of what your father was in order for you to feel proud of who you are, because, you know, the influence that you've had in your entire life is like, I've got to be the opposite of what that influence was. In order for me to feel like a good man, I've got to be this ideal man that my mother thinks I should be, that, you know, my teachers thought I should be, and, you know, so on. And so really, I got really into this book, man, and I started doing some of the exercises that I learned in this book. And there's several things that you can do in order to like really start tapping in and owning who you are. And really, I want to talk about that because, you know, I didn't realize how much shame I was living in. I didn't realize how fake I was being. But there was so many areas where I'm holding back, You know, I'm holding back. I'm people pleasing. I'm not speaking up. I'm not owning who I am. I'm not owning my greatness. And I'm hiding certain things that I would consider my demons, or in some other books I've been reading, like my shadows, right? I'm hiding my shadows, right? I'm hiding who I really am, you know, to appease like what I think I should be out in, you know, the public eye, you know, and these women that come into these rooms and they talk about it as well. It's like, man, like it's actually kind of pathetic. Like he does all this people pleasing for me, you know, in one book, you know, this case study, she was like, literally, if I told him I wanted him to set himself on fire while we were making love, he would probably do it because he's always just trying to please me. And it's not what I want. I want a man to be a man. I don't want this weak man that I can just push around, right? And so, you know, I didn't really relate with that because my wife would never suggest that. But I can relate to the fact that it's like, man, like, I felt like I had to be so great in these areas. And, you know, I had these insecurities of even the thought that, like, you know, I wasn't pleasing my wife, or that I wasn't, you know, being the best father, and I wasn't being the best business partner. And so relationships are so important, and you really can't cultivate true relationships if you're being fake in who you are. And so it doesn't mean go be a complete dickhead. It means, you know, really start owning some of your shit, because we all have demons, right? And so one of the biggest things that it suggests in there is like join a men's group. And I was like, oh, cool, check. I'm already in a men's group. And this men's group is focused on just men being around other men. And we do go out and we have fun. We do games on the beach. We go to fights. We go to, you know, I'm a part of Keith Yackey's group. And we go and we literally just enjoy other men. And we open up to each other. And we talk about the things that are holding us back in our life. And that's one of the most valuable things that you can do. But the other valuable thing is, it's like, you know, stop hiding who you are and open up to your partner about who you are, because everybody feels honesty. And when you can actually start being honest, even with the things that you think are scary, because you feel like, oh my gosh, if they knew this about me, it would push them out the door. It's like, no, man, they're going to respect it. They're going to respect that you're like, hey man, I actually really struggle with this. Because to women, it's a sign of integrity, you know, and a sign of integrity is being honest with, you know, where some of your thoughts are or what's lacking. You know, you can't really elevate your partner if you're just hiding a bunch of things about yourself and you're not being honest with them. And you can't be honest with them about maybe some of your needs or your boundaries, which is another super valuable thing it talks about, is actually sticking to boundaries and not being walked on within relationships as well. You know, just trying to continue to get this acceptance from your woman. And so all in all, I just really want to help people understand that if you can't be honest with yourself and have the courage to be honest with other men and with your partner in life, it's going to spill over into your business. And, you know, I would have never considered myself like a liar, right? But every time like I don't speak up and I just accept something, there's going to be a point in time where I've got to take accountability for that. And there was a point in time also where I was lying by holding back and being fake by holding back. And so the message really of this episode is start doing a little introspection on yourself, because if something's not going right in your business, it's probably something not going right with one of the relationships in your business. And it's probably stemming from shit that you're probably have buried deep down and that you keep allowing. Maybe things that are going on in your home that you're not proud of. And living in that shame is probably one of the worst things that you can do. You know, when they did a frequency study on shame, shame was actually the lowest vibrating frequency right next to death, which obviously death is a flat line, right? It's like there is nothing to measure. And so the actual lowest frequency that you can be in is a frequency of shame. And so really I'm hoping that an episode like this will encourage men to start doing a little introspection on who you are. And, you know, man, like you got to force some things. You just do. You got to force some things in order to get out of it. And like, I didn't want to go be in this men's group, to be quite honest with you. I didn't want to leave the home. I was feeling burned out as it is because I'm traveling constantly. I'm on the road. I'm always hustling up new business. I'm doing podcasts. I'm going, you know, to mastermind events. I'm hosting mastermind events. I'm doing all these things. And it's like, man, I don't want to do another group. But I didn't realize what was missing in my life. And so I'm hoping to be an encourager to men that are struggling in their businesses. And I'm hoping to be an encourager of women that listen to an episode like this for the men in their lives to truly try and create a space for them to be honestly who they are, right? Because they're going to be more the man that you want them to be if you can encourage them to be the man who they are. And men, it's up to you to actually define some of the demons and shit that you do have that you've buried deep down, because it's important for you to uphold this image of, you know, being the nice guy. And it's not going to serve you. It's going to compound like everything else does. And that compounding leads towards pure shit, whether that means your business imploding or, you know, just your home life becoming chaotic or whatever it is, right? It's going to head that direction if it's not dealt with. And I have found an enormous amount of my demons subsiding because I finally found the courage to not just identify it, but open up about it, talk about it with my therapist. I strategically hired a male therapist because I have a woman therapist. I have one that me and my wife see together, and then we each have one that we see on our own. And, and then we go see each other's together as well. But like opening up to not only my wife and just being fully honest with her about my thoughts at sometimes, or the things that I do feel maybe an addiction to that don't serve me, that I feel shame about, and why I even develop those things. And it's like, I do realize, you know, I don't like using these buzzwords like childhood trauma and things like that, but I do realize it's programming from when you're a child of trying to be what your father's not. And I do realize that it's like, you know, you get this certain fix or validation out of these things, and but you know it's wrong, so you hide it. And it's like really opening up about that, and then opening up about that in the men's group as well has given me the power to kind of set boundaries, right? Not kind of, definitely. There was boundaries I needed to set with my wife. My wife is an amazing supportive partner. She doesn't try to overstep my boundaries, but I was letting her overstep things I wasn't okay with at times because I never had any boundaries set up to begin with. And so I want to encourage people to start doing the work on yourself, on the demons or the shadows that you have in your life, so it doesn't continue to spill over into your relationships with your kids, your spouse, your business partners. And that's one of the most valuable things that I feel like I can encourage people to do, because nothing is going to be more freeing than honesty. And as I read the data in this book, and then I start opening up to other men in my men's group, I'm realizing that it's in majority of us. This isn't just my problem. This isn't just a problem in a small amount of, you know, men. This is a very predominant problem. And society has created this for us, but it's also created an opportunity, because if we can bring some awareness to this, like I'm trying to do right now in a podcast, and encourage people to work on it, to open up, you're going to find, no matter how hard it is, you're going to find, and I'm speaking from my own experience now, that the desires of the things that you feel addicted to, or the desires of the things you feel pulled to that you know you would be ashamed about, don't, one, those things don't have to happen, and two, those things start to diminish in your life. They start becoming way less important, because just by being honest, you're literally dealing with it. And so I've noticed over this last couple years to where I'm at right now, like, man, I really spiraled in some areas. And I've talked about previous episodes where I'm like, you know, I'm just not going to drink alcohol anymore. Well, it's because I've been doing the work, man. And I had to be honest with myself about some of the habits or the things that I turned to, especially when I was drinking, that it wasn't serving me, but I had to become truthful with myself about it. And I had to become truthful with other things about it as well. And to my surprise, when I'm opening up to some of these dark things I would consider about myself, my wife's like level of respect is increased so much for me, because she's like, well, I actually understand that. I actually understand that, and I understand why you would feel that way. And I understand why, you know, these things that have happened to you in your life, that would be important to you, you know? And it's like, you know, man, like, I'll just give you an example. And this is me being super vulnerable with you guys, okay? Like, so many of my relationships ended with me being cheated on. And so for a long time, because I didn't really fully work on it, I was like, well, I guess I'm just the kind of guy that gets cheated on. I guess I'm just not worth anything to somebody for a lifelong partner, you know? And then I hide those things, right? By like, okay, well, I'll make a fuck ton of money because women will like me if I'm a fucking rich dude, right? And if I'm powerful in that way, you know, then of course I'm going to attract somebody that's going to want to be faithful to me, right? And that might work temporarily, you know, but when you really get to know somebody, money doesn't mean shit, right? It's definitely a tool that we utilize in our world to build amazing lives, but we can use it for horrible things as well. But it can also be used as a coping mechanism for you to hide some of your shit, right? So instead of me doing work on myself and really creating a deep love for myself to where I don't need validation from women, what I did is I created a lot of hidden shit around things like, well, everybody's going to cheat on me anyway, so I better cheat. I should probably be a cheater because if I cheat, then I'm kind of almost creating an insurance policy, right? Because if I was a cheater and I was hiding that, and then this person that I love and I care about does what every woman does, which leaves me or cheats on me, well, then I can pull out that insurance card and I don't got to feel very hurt because then I can say, well, that's cool. I've been cheating on you too. So now I don't have to feel that pain of being cheated on, right? People's problems are about them. Your problems are about you. And so instead of me understanding and doing the work earlier on to, you know, realize that like, you know what? They probably cheated because they have their own insecurities, their own problems, their own childhood programming, their own issues. I made it about me. There must be something wrong with me if they had to feel like they were going out and being a cheater, right? You know, and so that's just a super vulnerable example, right? Like that was like a mindset that I lived with that I've always kind of felt like this weird weakness, right? Even though I didn't go out and have like this physical affair on my wife or anything like that, because I knew I'd be ashamed and feel guilty about that. And I love her and I adore her, but I still lived with this thought. But the thought of telling her that I had this thought, like, well, sometimes I get this thought, babe, where, you know, you're just going to cheat on me one day anyway. And so I should probably go cheat myself to protect myself. There is some sort of weird validation that if some woman threw herself at me, I don't know if I'd be able to resist because that would feel like some ultimate, you know, dopamine hit to me or some gratification to me or some ultimate validation to me. But when I start having these conversations with her, she didn't push out the door, you know, or I didn't push her out the door. She literally was like, oh my gosh, well, like, what can I do to help? That was literally her response. And so I don't know your chick. I don't know your woman, but you know, maybe that would freak your woman out. I don't know. But even if it did, wouldn't being honest and going through that and allowing them to actually know who you are create a space where you guys could actually work through some shit and be stronger on the other side of it? You know, and that same example applies with anything, man, like your business partners or, you know, like, man, if there's things that you're struggling with or thoughts that you think like you're afraid of something happening, which is so dumb, right? Because future thoughts are always just us worrying about things that haven't even happened yet, right? But we do that. We do that as humans. But if we could be honest with it, isn't that like a pretty high level of integrity? Like, wouldn't that be like an awesome opportunity to like work on it and hear like directly from people about some of these fears? That would maybe stop a business partnership from imploding? You know, wouldn't that happen with your kids? Or what about the experience you could get from being honest so that you can actually be an awesome role model with you and your spouse to your children so that when they go through shit, because let's be real, they're going to have their own societal programming as well. They're going to go marry some dude that looks badass on the surface, but he's dealing with some demons, right? So wouldn't it be cool to like mentor your daughters to actually like hold that space for a man to be honest right? Wouldn't it be awesome to like mentor your son to be an honest man that lives in integrity instead of having to hide who you are to try and be accepted by society or women or anybody that you want that acceptance from, right? So those are the things that I'm learning through this, through these books that I'm reading. One of them's called Men's Work by Connor Beaton. The other one was No More Mr. Nice Guy. I think by Robert Glover. Yeah, I think it's Robert Glover. So you guys should check those books out if you feel like this is something that you could do some work on, because what I've found by opening up is this is super relatable. This is super relatable amongst all the men that I'm talking to, right? And like, we don't have to be ashamed of being like strong, masculine men. Like, we should really step in and own our greatness. And I want to be an encourager of that, because it doesn't matter who you are. Like, size, color, you know, race, like, it doesn't matter who you are. You're a freaking man and you have men's DNA in you. And stepping into your masculinity is probably one of the most attractive things that you can do to not just other women, to other men. And it gives you the power to be a much stronger leader, not only in your homes, but in your businesses. And I just want to be an encourager of that. And I hope that, you know, me speaking on this and being vulnerable about it is going to do just that and encourage men to really do the work on yourself to not live in those shadows, not live with the demons. Find people that you can really speak to. You know, if it's not your spouse first, cool, find a men's group. You know, do some work, learn to set boundaries, learn to identify what's really going on inside of your mind so that you can be honest with it. You know, we used to do this exercise back in my early therapy days, and it's something I'm bringing back right now. Because sometimes we create a lot of distractions from actually just being with our thoughts, right? And we used to do this exercise called 4 hours on a rock. And it was literally where you'd go out and you find a space in the desert or in the hills or whatever. You find a rock. You don't take your phone with you. You leave it in the car and you sit there for 4 hours, right? You go out at sunset, sit there for, you know, a couple hours and then sit there in the dark, man. Listen to the coyotes, whatever. But at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you, you'll be amazed at when you, the anxiousness that you feel for a period of that time. And then when that anxiousness subsides, what thoughts you really have and what things that you can really lean into to identify what things you really need to own in your life. Because there's a lot of things that I was totally unaware of. And I accepted those things because I'm like, well, that's just how men are. You know, we look at women like a piece of meat sometimes. It's just who we are. No, it's bullshit, man. Like, you literally don't get to just create an excuse because that's how men are. You get to learn and discover who you are and design who you want to be. Because the man that I look up to, my future self, that man that I want to be, a strong leader that I aspire to be, doesn't look at other women like a piece of meat. He doesn't, you know, have this desire to hide who he is or get validation from women. He's strong enough in who he is to just be himself and not need any of that shit. And so it's not just who we are as men. It's just not. So find out who you are. Do some work on yourself. Go sit 4 hours on a rock. Lean into your thoughts. Identify the things that you really are hiding so that you don't have to feel that. Because that's really what it comes down to. You know, that's why men turn to drinking. They're escaping something. They're escaping the shame of who they really are. And these things can go away when you start being honest with yourself and other people about the things that you're struggling with. And so, one last thing that I did pull from this book was how you react to people. And man, there's a lot of men that react like little boys sometimes when they don't get their own way, or they let things build up and then they explode and they have these little tantrums, right? And I've done that before. You know, I've done that, you know, several times throughout my upbringing and my, you know, adulthood and in my relationships. And, you know, when I was talking just barely about the man I aspire to be, find someone that you really look up to, whether it's an influencer or somebody in your life, whether it's a grandparent, a father, whatever it is, find a role model and think to yourself like, well, before I respond or I react to the situation, because you know, we're all pretty quick to react sometimes, but if we can create a little discipline around stopping the reaction about maybe it's something your wife told you that you're kind of feel triggered by, you know, okay, well, what would that guy, how would that guy respond? Think about that before you respond, right? And as simple as that is, and as easy as that is to understand, and how we should just already know that, like, I never actually did that. I never, like, took a step back and was like, man, how would the real proud version of myself or some amazing strong leader, like, you know, I don't know, maybe you guys follow like Jocko or somebody, right? Like, this guy's an amazing leader in the military. He's just really examples, like such a great man, right? And it's like, well, man, how would somebody like that respond, right? And then that's something that you can actually practice. That's something that I'm currently practicing. So I'm identifying like really strong leaders in my world that I'm like, man, well, how would they respond? Because I really look up to how they carry themselves as a man. I really look up to the amount of integrity that they have as a man. I really love that they seem to live with values. I really love how they respond to their wife. I really love how they carry themselves in their relationship. Find those type of people because they're out there. Even though there's a ton of men that are struggling with their demons and their shadows, there's examples around us, right? And if we can stop ourselves at times and say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to respond to my wife right now that, you know, she's upset about something or she said something that triggered me. I'm going to sit here and think about it. How would so-and-so respond that I really look up to? How would the greatest version of myself respond, the type of man that I'm aspiring to be? And ponder that and come up with some tactics on how to respond based on the type of integrity that you want to live in. And watch what happens. Watch how your response changes. I know it has for mine. So that's all I got for you guys, man. Like, I hope you can take this with a lot of love. And if there's ladies listening, I hope you can take this as, you know, this is an opportunity for you as well. Like, building a great business takes the same amount of effort as building a great family. And it takes like a really great partnership. And it does take great women behind a great man to build something amazing and really live and build the type of legacies that we want to live. And so I really hope that this episode hits home with the right people and encourages you to lean into this shit, man, and be honest with it. Honest with you and other people about it so that you can really start living proud of yourself, proud of who you are, and really start creating a trajectory of you becoming what you want to be, which is someone that you're proud of being. So don't you want to like yourself? You know what I mean? At the end of the day. And there's a lot of areas where I did, man, I like myself in a lot of ways, but man, there was some shame where I wasn't very proud of myself. There were some things I wasn't really proud of myself, and I'm super grateful for some of the challenges I've put me and my wife through lately that has really like shed a ton of light on this. Cause like, man, I really like, if you follow me personally, I post about my family all the time because man, I love my family. I adore my family. Like, they literally are my purpose. But if I was really being honest with myself this last couple years, I wasn't being the best father, man. Like, that's just a fact that I had to come to realization with. And doing the work, opening up to other men, opening up to my wife, man, I can't tell you like the amount of power that that's going to give you and how much it's going to take those demons away. So with love, I hope that you guys take this message well and you can really start just taking some ownership in your life of the areas that are hard, you know, because it seems hard and it seems scary. But it's way harder and scarier than we think it is. We make that shit up in our head. So go be honest, man. Go be honest. Be who you are and watch how much it affects your business. Watch how much it affects your children, you and your wife, your partner. And really that goes for men and women. Like, honesty is always the best thing. And you just can't build something great being fake. So peace out, y'all. I hope you guys got some nuggets out of this. And if you did, obviously drop us a rate, a review. And until next time, love y'all. Peace out.